And I'm going to be referencing what I used to be like so that you have an idea, because I'm supposed to relay what I used to be like and how I've changed as a result of these steps. So when I bring up what I used to be like, that's the sole purpose of having you, because nobody knows me, what I used to be like. So step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. This step took me over 33 years. I was out there for 33 years, and I did not want to admit that I had a problem. I could not concede. I could not admit under pressure at all that I had a problem with alcohol. And why I didn't want to admit that I had a problem with alcohol had nothing to do with admitting defeat. I have no problem admitting defeat in other areas of my life. But truthfully, I did not want to stop drinking. I mean, I enjoyed it to the very end, even though I don't know why I enjoyed it. It caused me terrible, terrible consequences much of the time. But I loved, loved getting drunk. So I didn't want to admit it, because once I admitted it, then I knew I had to do something about it. I started out my life as a very successful little kid, you know, very successful little kid. Somewhere along the line, and it had nothing to do with anything at home. I'm one of those who had a very loving upbringing. I had parents that taught me right from wrong. I knew right from wrong. I kind of learned right from wrong. It's not like I couldn't learn it. And for a long time, I enjoyed doing right. The consequences were beneficial to me of being good. And for me, my life is all about the consequences, the benefits, the prize, you know. Somehow, somewhere along the line, after being successful, I was not shy. I was socially okay. I could go to a party and dance. I could do all these things. But I think that was when I had no ego. You know, as children, we don't have an ego. You know, when a baby falls down, he doesn't get embarrassed. They don't have an ego. It's only when we develop this ego that the embarrassment and the self comes into play. Well, somewhere along, I guess, puberty or a little after puberty, I developed this ego and was very self-conscious, where I used to be able to perform. I was in dance clubs and glee clubs and all that stuff, and I had no problem. But then all of a sudden, I did have a problem, and I needed to find something that would eliminate this problem. You know, I was okay socially. I could talk to a room full of people. But when it came time for, like, for example, dating, I think I went on 2 dates in my life sober, pre-drinking. And it was horrendous. It was horrendous. All of a sudden, I didn't know how to stand. I didn't know where to put my arms. I just froze. And I needed to find something, and I needed to find it fast. And I did. I found alcohol and other things that were just like alcohol, and that took away all my inhibitions, and that's what I wanted to do, because I cared a lot about how I behaved and what people thought of me, and I needed relief from that. It was hard work caring, and I needed relief from not caring. I needed not to care. And so once I started, I was not a slow learner when it came to that. I went into like with labor, usually start labor slowly. I went to hard labor right away. And I went to hard drinking right away. I got drunk the very first time I drank. And I will tell you that I got drunk every single time that I drank for 33 years. For me, it was why bother? If I'm not getting drunk, I'd sooner not drink. And that is my truth. So I got drunk the first time, I got drunk the last time, and every time in between. And I was able to do things with the drinking that I wasn't able to do without it. A lot of those things I should not have been doing. But again, I was interested in the prize and what I thought the prize was. You know, sometimes was not so good. So like I said, this step took me over 33 years, because I drank for 33 years, and then I came in here, and I still did not want to admit that I was an alcoholic. I was powerless over alcohol. When I drank, I had the physical craving. I did not stop till I was passed out, thrown out, something out. It was never my idea. I never, ever got mildly intoxicated. I never said, oh, you know what, Nancy? I think you had too much. I think you better stop. That's not my experience. My experience was, Nancy, I think you're getting too much. Go in the bathroom and puke, and then you'll be able to come out and drink again. And I say puke instead of throw up, because throw up doesn't sound so terrible. And what I was doing was disgusting, you know. And that's what I would do. No matter where I was, it didn't matter who I was with, what kind of party it was, did not matter. I drank, got drunk, went over the edge, went in the bathroom, stuck my fingers down my throat, and threw up so that I can come back and continue drinking. So when I tell you it was hard to admit this, I just didn't want to. My life was unmanageable. I didn't think so. But I was married at the time. My husband was sleeping in another room. We weren't speaking. If he had something to say to me, he sent me an email. My truth. I'm here to tell you my truth. He went from loving me and thinking the world of me to hating me with a passion, wishing I was dead. You know, I was a liability now. I was no longer an asset. But I didn't think my life was unmanageable, you know. But obviously it was. I learned in here that I had, you know, I never knew what was wrong with me because I didn't think anything was wrong with me. I didn't even stop to think something was wrong with me. It was, what was wrong was that you thought something was wrong with me, you know. That's what was wrong. And if you just left me alone, and I remember saying, I am not judging you, do not judge me. I'm not telling you how to drink. Please don't tell me how to drink, you know. We're at a party. We're supposed to get drunk. I mean, I didn't see the problem. I just didn't see the problem. Crawling up the steps, not being able to put the key in the door, you know, eventually car accidents, blackouts. I was a blackout, puking, fall down, disgusting, drunk. Middle age, disgusting. And believe me, if I saw you doing what I was doing, I would be talking about you. But somehow, for me, it was okay, because it was me. You know, I justified and rationalized all my behavior. I came in here and found out that I had an illness. I didn't want an illness. I wanted to be crazy. I would rather be crazy, because crazy still meant I could still drink. Being an alcoholic meant I was going to have to stop drinking. And I just love drinking. I don't know about you guys, but I love drinking. So I found that I had this phenomenon of craving that once I thought I wanted to. And there were times that I wanted to. You know, there were times that I got deliberately drunk. But I remember going places and drinking, you know, I didn't drink wine and beer. I was a hardcore, you know, wild turkey, tequila, vodka, scotch, straight and warm. And, of course, warm got to you better. I would starve myself all day because I knew it would hit me. You know, I had all those great tricks, not on how not to get drunk, on how to get drunk. And, you know, the bartenders would be saying, you know, with the shot, you know, this is good scotch. It's not to be shot. You should sip this. Yeah, okay, you know. Just ridiculous. And I had no clue that I was alcoholic. I had a different picture of an alcoholic. When I was a little girl, I grew up in the project in Brooklyn, and out my kitchen window, like a catty corner to me, was a drunk. It was an old man, drunk, loud mouth, screaming, degrading, humiliating to his family, drunk. And this is what I thought a drunk was. I was not like that. I was a very amorous drunk. I was a very happy-go-lucky, party, come on, you know, kind of drunk. So I couldn't equate that I was an alcoholic. There was no way I fit my description of an alcoholic. But nevertheless, I am an alcoholic, because it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter my upbringing. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. What matters is that when I put alcohol in my body, I do not stop until I am stopped. Somehow I am stopped. And when I'm not drinking, I was always obsessing over when I was going to be drinking. Always. From the first time as a young kid, I remember Friday night at that time was our party night. And if whoever was supposed to get what I wanted did not get what I wanted, I didn't have a good time that Friday night. I was annoyed. So starting way back when, I was obsessing over this. And like I pointed out, my life was quite unmanageable. My grown children, they weren't little kids at the time, were, you know, those frothy emotional appeals, begging me as I would fall down the steps into my son lived downstairs, and he would be, "Ma, what is wrong with you?" Nothing, you know. I mean, really, if the thought of me seeing my parents the way my children saw me gets me sick. I never saw my, that is heartbreaking for me, that the thought of me seeing my parents the way my children saw me. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I had a problem with this. I didn't think I was insane. I was in detox, in rehab. I had a problem, them telling me it was an institution. I had a problem with everything. I didn't think of myself as arrogant or anything like that, but I was that passive aggressive, you know. Quietly, I would tell you I had a problem with it. So I had a problem because I could not see that I was insane. But it was, you know, and I did not do, all my revelations happened way after the fact. I was blessed with the gift of being willing. And once I was forced into this, I had 3 car accidents in 2 months. So I was forced into all this. I did go along with the step, you know, I did put one foot in front of the other and did, because I was that good little girl again. And I listened to suggestions, never, ever dreaming I was going to be here almost 12 years later. Never. I was just doing it to appease the husband and appease the children, and, you know. So I came to believe, of course not at step two, but I was willing to try to believe. I heard you guys talking, and I really did want to believe. I wanted to believe. And I would say to you, "God, that was so good. You qualified. I loved what you said. I really want to feel what you feel, but I don't." You know, but I don't. I really want to. And I was annoyed that it was something that I wanted that I couldn't buy. No money in the world could buy that. And that annoyed me, you know. But again, my childhood qualities came back. And I became that seeker. I read. I was an avid reader. And instead of reading my serial killer murder mysteries, I was reading now spiritual literature. And seeking to get what you had, because I did want it. And I would say, okay, I'm coming to believe, maybe I'll believe, you know, but I never did it with full heart. And I was just very, very lucky that I never yet experienced relapse. I never drank again since the day I came in. A power greater than myself, I could, you know, I was definitely agnostic. Definitely agnostic. I wouldn't say, if you sneezed, I'd say bless you. I would never say God bless you. I was not a hypocrite. I really just, I had no use for God. I thought whatever I survived, I had survived other substances, serious substances, and stopped on my own. I could not do that with alcohol. And so when I would stop those other things, it was, wow, I really am a survivor. You know, I got it. So I didn't think I needed God. God had no place in my life, just nothing. And the deal, you know, and I remember when I was a kid saying, I'm certainly not behaving God-like. So I had a choice, and I remember it was a choice. Either stop behaving the way I'm behaving and believe in God, or throw God out and continue. And you know what I chose, of course. And then, and I'm saying this not for the odds and not for you to feel bad, just for reference. My mother was killed by a bus coming home from a wake. And when that happened, that sealed, that confirmed my decision to not have God, because no God would allow such a thing to happen. You know, that was my mentality. So, of course, at this point, I have come to believe my spiritual journey, you know, soared because of my seeking. And it always moved forward. Made a decision to turn my, you know, my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood him. I said, okay, I'll do it again just because I'm supposed to. I certainly did not do that with a whole heart again. Certainly did not. I mean, that's my experience. I made a decision to stick around. I made a decision to continue with the steps. And let's see what happens. You know, let's see what happens. And, you know, it was the care of God as I understood him. Well, I really didn't understand him. I really didn't understand him. And I made the group my higher power. And that was the way I got in the door. You know, I know today it's about God. But if you told me that when I came in the rooms, that would have given me an out. And I was looking for an out. I was looking for you to hear my story and tell me, Nancy, you're not an alcoholic. Please don't come back. I was looking for you to tell me you don't believe in God. Please, you can't. You can't be here. But I was willing. I had that gift of willingness. I really did. And again, wanted. I wanted it. I wanted what you had. I wanted to feel that way. I just didn't, you know. So I made that decision, and of course we all know that a decision not followed by action is nothing. Nothing. I made plenty of decisions on the bar stool. I made plenty of decisions in my home. Plenty. I'll do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and I did nothing. And so I was told that I was, you know, had to turn my thoughts and my actions over to this power. My thoughts and my, how do you hand over your thoughts and actions? How do you even do that? You know, one thing at a time, you know, one thing at a time. Don't step ahead. Don't look ahead. And it will happen. And I will tell you that each step, it's my experience that each step set me up for the next step. You know, it prepared me for the next step. And truthfully, my experience is that I didn't really fully understand. I didn't have a sponsor that really explained things to me. That's why I over-explain things to my to my sponsees, because if I understand something, I'm able to do it easier than if I don't understand it. That's just me. And, you know, just to tell me to do this, you know, I need to know why. Why am I doing this? What's going to happen? What's the prize? What is that prize? I need to have a benefit. Like I had a benefit from the alcohol. The benefit was the way I felt. The benefit was no inhibitions. Me being able to do, you know, I would go to a party, inhibitions, like I said, I would go to a party after being in dance club and being going from school to school performing and not thinking twice about it to going to a party and I'd be like this and the music would go on and... And then I'd have to drink. And after the drink, I'm like, there's an imaginary pole here, and I'm pole dancing. You know, that was the transformation. You know, this is all about change. My life is all about change. And first, it's about change from good to bad. You know, I changed from good to bad like this. And thankfully, I was brought to this program that led me to the literature, that led me, the book led me to God. That helped me change. I am not the person that I was even a year ago. Every year I have changed. I am just so far away from who I was, so far away from who I wanted to be. I didn't even want to be this. I really didn't want to be this. And if you told me that I was going to be this, I would have told you you're crazy, and that would have given me the out. Because I truly... Everything about me, and all I thought I had to do was stop crashing the car. That's all I thought I had to do. And when I heard you have to change everything, you have to stop drinking, because this is what I heard, and change everything about yourself, I would very nicely say, maybe you had to change everything about you. But I don't. Thank you very much. I just have to stop driving when I'm drunk. That's all I have to do. And thankfully, I know that not to be true. Thankfully, today I'm able to admit I'm an alcoholic. I have this thing, whether I want it or not. I remember my husband in rehab saying, whatever it is, get rid of it. I said, they tell me I have this thing. He says, get rid of it. Okay. You know, okay. I had reservations. I never, believe me, I never, ever, ever thought that I was going to stop doing everything. forever. You know, never. I think I'm going to stop there.